You gotta introduce us, Brian?
Hello, this is Brian Scott with the musical movie critic to my left, to my right.
Ronnie Haynes.
To his right. And we're here, Yahoo's with a microphone, here to talk about Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Our very first Star Wars commentary.
A long time ago in the galaxy far, far away, George Lucas made a movie. And that movie turned into a phenomenon, and here we are 26 years later now, talking about the fifth one in that six-movie cycle. Of course, right here, the very memorable Star Wars march by John Williams, the great John Williams, the master, the man.
The myth, the legend.
What's this whole scrolling text thing? Is that supposed to be some sort of throwback to...
Oh, it's not as much of a throwback as I think is a tradition.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say, old movies.
Oh,
as far as... I mean, I would think possibly going back to the whole George Lucas being inspired by, you know,
the Saturday morning serials, and what have you.
But, I mean, you know, they did for the first one, A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
this is something Roger Ebert mentioned
in his review of A New Hope. And that, I mean, you know, you had the episode four.
Right.
So you knew that this is part of a larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this here, I mean, we're basically just setting up the story.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, getting caught up between sort of what's happened in the 10 years since episode one.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of the things I did appreciate about it is that the time lapse between episode one and episode two was executed not so terribly.
Right.
Yeah, it's really, they really do make a point of making an important point in the movie,
and it's not one of the more painful things about it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not awkward at all.
Yeah, it's like
where it easily could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You do believe that it's 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. You got some nice CG.
We've got some great. I mean, you know, yeah, some fantastic CG. I mean, right here.
And this wasn't a terrible fake out either. Fake outs are usually really hard to pull off. You don't. You're not aware of the fact that it. Or I mean, the thing is, you believe the fake out when it happens. You are, for the most part, under the impression that this is Queen Amidala here.
Yeah. Senator Amidala now. Yeah.
Usually fake outs. Usually, I'm not a big fan of fake outs.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There are some
that's some terribly executed stuff.
There are some just god awful fake outs in the history of cinema, and this was one of the things.
Yeah, this really is a grabber of an opening.
One of the least painful ones.
It just catches you off guard, and it really does, you know, sort of set immediately what the situation is like.
It's pretty brutal right there. But
yeah.
That's all computer generated. Explosion.
The initial explosion with those two people falling down, with the original Padme and the black dude. Probably like one of the black dudes.
Okay, are we gonna get into this?
All right.
I have a movie I want you to see, Chasing Amy. I want you to see that.
The way that goes over was looked a little bit big. Mm-hmm. What about the? I thought you were saying something about the typical dying guy scream.
Oh yeah, the scream that's in like every Ben Burtt sound edited movie, I think anyway.
Not just Star Wars or anything like that.
Right,
or
but it's like Burtt it's a
because I heard it during Two Towers too.
Mm-hmm.
During Helm's
Deep.
It's in
a lot of movies actually.
It is in quite a few movies.
Right.
It's in like 90% of
and I've read about this particular sound effect, and it has a name, but I'm just not familiar. Here's the first ever computer generated Yoda.
Yeah.
Which actually wasn't too bad.
I thought they did do
a lot
good
of love went
them.
Into this character.
You know, they did. I really feel like they did a much better job rendering Yoda in CG than they did when they did Jabba the Hutt in CG.
Or E.T.
Special edition of A New Hope.
Right.
I just. I hated the Jabba in...
Well, in with in the New Hope Special Edition, the whole idea of computer-generated characters was still very much off the shelf. I think that's something to take into consideration. But
Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
The man.
Very underused.
Very underused.
Very much
very underused.
Yeah,
he gets some more time in this one.
Well, not as much underused.
Mostly underused in episode one.
Right.
Well, maybe not as much underused as just, you know, underappreciated, I think, is the word.
I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, think about how many stories you have to follow in this mm-hmm. one, though. I mean, you have at least, you know, I mean, the main stories are Padme and Anakin and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you basically have to follow that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to do a whole lot with
the Jedi. He's a supporting character.
Hopefully we'll see him a lot more in episode three.
Which, I mean, according to story, according you know, well, with the way the story is going, I'm sure you will.
Right.
And with what has to happen in episode three.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And
Jimmy Smits,
mm-hmm.
of NYPD Blue fame,
playing Senator. Senator.
Well, that one.
Bail or something. He's the dude who adopts Leia. He's the dude.
He's from Alderaan.
He's the dude who adopts Princess Leia. Excuse us for.
Beyond that. Sorry, all Star Wars geeks
yeah.
are out there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Star Wars fans
yeah.
are out there.
Yeah, we're geeks. We're geeks.
We're geeks too. But,
yeah, anyway. we deserve 30 lashings for not knowing that.
Yeah.
But
it's like Bail Organa or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
sure. We'll see it in the credits and go, oh wow.
The look of Coruscant here.
This is really the first time we've really started to see Coruscant.
Yeah, the interior.
Really,
and,
right.
And, I mean...
The bowels of Coruscant, if you will.
It's spectacular. I mean, mm-hmm. it's a great... You know, in episode one, you really got a sense that Lucas was inspired by Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
It was very... You know, you saw it mostly at night and all that stuff. It had very Blade Runner feel to it. This, you sort of get that same feel... Blade Runner, but also the Fifth Element.
Mm, yeah.
Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen
has
previously done Life as a House and was pretty good in it.
Yeah.
More Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar.
First big scene of episode two.
My buddy.
One of like three.
Jar Jar Binks, my buddy.
Right.
I that was like the first action figure I bought when the episode one, you know, the character of Jar Jar, I mean, you know, we're hopefully we won't, you know, I mean, he has a much smaller part in episode two, obviously, but
smaller, but actually quite pithable.
Yeah, exactly. The character Jar Jar.
We find out the reason he's actually in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Not,
you know, I mean, for what it's worth, I think he's a neat character. I think, you know, he fit, you know, the thing is, Gungans are meant to be, you know, childlike. They're meant, that is their, you know, particularly Jar Jar. He's a child-like character, and, you know, he's, you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with you on that. I mean, he fits that.
You know, as far as Gungans in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as Jar Jar, yeah.
I mean, he's supposed,
you know,
to be a...
As far as Jar Jar goes, yes, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, I'm with you, I like Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm.
I never
I do too.
Really had a huge problem with him.
Neither did I.
One. And, I mean, you know, there are better brand...
There are better second bananas out there, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's better examples of comic relief sidekicks, but
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and I can, you know... The complaints about him are valid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they really are valid to a degree, but
right.
you have to think about it. I mean, you know, I don't know. I enjoy the character. I mean,
you will then place him.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor really has it going on as Obi-Wan in this
yeah.
one. I mean, he's the Obi-Wan in this movie that people were hoping he would be in episode one.
Well, in episode one, I mean, again, it's all
about Liam Neeson.
It's a question of character, I think, because like in episode one, he was supposed to be a younger version of Alec Guinness in episode four, and I mean, I thought he fit the bill.
I thought he did a good job too. You know, I mean, he was. Mm-hmm. You saw enough of Obi-Wan in the first one
yeah.
to see that he would grow into it. So I was
right.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, you know, but
But I don't know. But definitely in this one, he is.
Yeah, oh, he's the episode. I mean, he's the Obi-Wan that we've been wanting to.
Yeah, we've wanted to see for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ewan McGregor, Trainspotting fame, Moulin Rouge, mm-hmm. recently
Down with Love.
I know he's been like a lot of other stuff. Jango Fett. It's Jango Fett and Zam the Assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And starting off here, we get some really excellent adventure, action adventure types music from John Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
this is some of his best action peril scoring since.
Yeah, he did some great action music, and I'll touch on it a bit later. Mm-hmm. But
you know, everybody always talks about the. Everybody talks about the dialogue being so bad in some of these movies, but actually, like, up until now, I think the dialogue's actually been pretty good, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've gotten hints of...
Oh, well, you know, I think the complaints of the dialogue for this movie are more or less...
The love scene.
The love story, right. You know, that's...
Yeah. That works and all of that.
I mean...
But I mean, the delivery always seems to be good. Mm-hmm. It's just
mm-hmm. Well, it's just...
I mean, it's adequate for what the story is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly... I mean, it's not Shakespeare.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Neither the acting nor the dialogue is necessarily Shakespeare. And I will admit the dialogue, which, you know, George Lucas had some help in this script, Kersey Jonathan Hales,
mm-hmm.
in punching up the script a bit. In episode one, he had just written it by himself. This one is certainly much improved over episode one, which had some really cringeworthy, like, pieces of dialogue, I felt. And I just couldn't stand some of the dialogue in that movie. But here, like you said, I mean, with some of the love scenes, saying up the love story, it's just kind of corny, it's hokey, corny type stuff. Not necessarily fitting.
We have our vomit. We have our vomit bag standing by. We just, that's just. I mean, I'm just not looking for it.
I mean,
but
I still kind of wish that Lawrence Kasdan, who Grant is, the reason
he's doing his own thing.
Yeah,
now.
He's writing and directing. I mean, he.
And he's earned it.
Yeah, he's earned it. I mean, he did a great job with Empire Strikes Back. Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I mean, there are just some cool little gadgets in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's one of the things that I love about these.
Well, the thing is, I mean,
there's so many cool little things.
This is a really.
Ooh, that's kind of gross.
This is a really wonderful.
Really a cool, creepy, crawly type thing.
Well, it's just a really great dark moment, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it
well
comes
scored by John Williams. Mm-hmm.
And I love how R2 is put into this as well.
Right,
he's
right,
like
right.
He's
very intelligent use.
Yeah,
very 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 brilliant use of his character here. Even though he comes off as a little clueless here, I was a little worried about that.
Right.
But I mean, he's.
I mean, normally he's the man.
Normally he is the man, but he comes off a little.
Unless he's getting spit out by swamp monsters and short circuit.
But he was lucky to get out of there.
Yeah.
He was lucky to get out of there. But we won't go into that line replacement. I wasn't creeped out by this scene as much as everyone. I mean, I heard it was fun to listen to girls go ooh in the theater.
It's incredibly realistic. The way this looks.
Yeah, but that was a little cheesy.
Man, Anakin's got some moves there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was some sweet moves.
This
is cool.
That's cool.
It's like, dang.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I think
that's some.
Here we are to first big real action set piece of the
and it's,
movie, which
and
is
it
actually
is
brilliant.
Quite good, quite
brilliantly
scored. Wonderfully
scored. I was listening to this to the soundtrack to episode two, mm-hmm. before we started this, and I love
this
his
some,
use of percussion in this.
Mm-hmm. And there's an electric guitar in here also.
You can't hear it in the movie.
No, you can't hear it. But
you can't
hear
it in the movie, but you can hear. I mean,
it's there
on the soundtrack.
But there's some. I think it's done. It's supposed to be subtle.
Yeah.
It's supposed to represent Anakin's, you know, young badass kind of thing.
Yeah, which is actually something I touched on when I reviewed the
I remember your review for the soundtrack, and like I was like, because I read your review before I bought it, and I was like, electric guitar and a John Williams score. That's gotta be interesting.
Uh huh. So, I mean, there are some great use of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just some superb stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of the sort of use of percussion and just the rhythmic aspects of this really reminds me of Jerry Goldsmith's score for the original Planet of the Apes, which is one of the best.
That's what you wanted us to get together to watch earlier.
Yeah.
I think.
That's one of the things I was going to suggest we watch since we decided to do commentary for episode 2. Mm-hmm. But hopefully we'll get around.
This
is actually very.
This is really cool.
This is some sweet just ILM right here. This is all ILM.
I mean, 99% of the movie is ILM, but
but this is in particular. This is
in
like
in particular, yeah.
Do we think Two Towers should have gotten the Oscar over Episode 2 for effects?
Gollum guaranteed it.
Yeah.
Should have. Over
I guess, days. Yeah. I mean,
just the achievement of Gollum, and the use of massive at Helm's Deep is just absolutely.
Right.
I mean, I love the effects for Episode 2. Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Love the effects for Episode 2, and I was one of the few who actually felt like Episode 1 should have won Best Visual Effects Oscar over Matrix.
Right.
But,
Well, after some consideration.
I can kind of see where The Matrix should have won, but I still feel like Episode 1, in terms of visuals and sound, was grossly underrated.
We just get to my favorite line right there, the rivaling Yoda as a swordsman.
Yeah.
That's your favorite line?
Yeah, that's my favorite line.
Oh, okay. <It's> like,
really. I mean, because, you know, that also gives you a hint of, you know.
Hint of what you're going to see later on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I saw this opening day. I saw it actually.
My favorite line is coming up. We'll get to that, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I don't know
what
my favorite line this would be.
I'm sure what my favorite line is, but this is great right here. Okay.
We're all listening for his favorite line.
No, this is
sort of a callback to Return of the Jedi.
Well,
a little bit of.
I got excited seeing some bits and pieces of this chase in the trailer.
Right. Yeah.
This is what really got me excited about finally. Yeah.
Gosh, I mean, look how much attention to detail is being paid.
Oh God, yes.
That's so much work. It's so much work.
Where are you going? She went the other way.
This is a shortcut.
I think.
Yeah. A car chase in a Star Wars movie.
Right, right.
This
is
basically the Star Wars equivalent of a car chase.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Which, yeah.
I mean, that's basically what it is.
And it pulls it off pretty
good.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty effective in that.
But I like this whole mentality of like this is some pretty extraordinary stuff going on. But I think what this is trying to the story the little subplot that this sequence is trying to tell is that these are a couple of Jedi and this is an everyday thing for these guys.
Right, right, yeah, right.
And you know it pulls it off. You know,
and I really like how they set up the character of him. Anakin. They really set up his personality.
Well,
in fact, he's basically the quarterback on a high school football team.
Right.
I think it's sort of like the mentality you're going for in here.
Yeah.
Where I mean, he's just too cool, you know, for to be told anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Hayden Christensen pulls it off.
I can't say enough about his performance.
With the help of Ewan McGregor, of course.
Yeah.
Really, the help of you.
I cannot say enough about Hayden's performance.
Yeah,
it is pretty good.
I mean,
considering what he was
considering the weight that came with this role,
right.
And
what came before?
Let's not. it would get, it would just be. It would just be brainless to compare.
People love this when we saw it in theaters. Mm-hmm. Oh my god, people just love that when Obi-Wan would just reach
out and grab that thing.
Like you say, you sort of get the idea that he's had to do that before.
Yeah, exactly. Which that's what I love about this sequence. That's just another great aspect of this of this chase. It's like
somewhat relaxed. As
yeah, exactly. I gotta grab his lightsaber again.
At least they didn't have some sort of witty pun or anything like that in that case.
Well, there's enough quote unquote witty puns to to
kill a Star Cruiser, whatever the line is from one of the original movies. But
there's enough life on this ice cube to fill a Star Cruiser.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
That's right. Empire Strikes Back. Never mind.
Still my favorite Star Wars. Still my favorite.
I prefer A New Hope, actually.
I know you do. And I know both Dave, of them are
pretty.
I know Dave prefers Return of the Jedi.
So. Yeah. But do I prefer?
That's what I thought you told me.
And,
I'm not trying to talk for you. I'm just.
I prefer it.
It's like, that's a neat little graphic. I was told.
I like the idea that they sort of go into a sports bar here. I love the fact that.
Well, the original concept,
they have sports bar.
The original concept, according to the commentary, is that this is supposed to be a cantina, kind of like in Mos Espa, but Mos Eisley, excuse me. But I know.
I mean, that's the original trilogy.
I know. Don't.
It's
yeah.
Not even, it's
yeah.
Not even.
Oh, here's my favorite line. Great line. Why do you think? Yeah. Why do I feel like you're going to be the death of me? Great line. Such great foreshadowing kind of thing. And I just remember the laugh. That was like one of the only genuine laughs I think this movie got.
Robot football.
And a little pod racing there.
Or actually, almost like, I was going to say chariot racing, but pod racing is sort of the race equivalent.
A drink.
I remember reading about this for the first time in an early review from a prominent online movie critic, and he just loved this.
That's Ahmed Best right there, making a little cameo.
Is it just me, or does he look like John Leguizamo?
I doubt he is, but he does look
like... I know he's not, but it looks like he is.
Buy some Best sticks. I don't want to say anything else. Want to go home and rethink your life.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I want to go home and rethink my life. The badass.
Yeah.
There's some cameos in here. There's we just saw Ahmed Best of Jar Jar Binks fame, and we're about to see
Anthony Daniels.
We're about to see Anthony Daniels here momentarily. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
No, I didn't.
This is a bit of, here it is, there he is.
Right
there. Oh, wow. But I think this is a bit of a callback to, I've read about this and heard in the commentary that this was that's a great line right there. Jedi business, back to your grave. That is a great line. I can see Kevin Smith quoting that in one of his movies down the line. But anyway, I really can. I was like, this is a very intentional callback to Mos Eisley Cantina sequence
in
episode four, The Empire Strikes Back. No, just kidding. There's some really cool dark moments here. There's some really great foreshadowing going on. Which it kind of threw me off at first, but I was like, no wait.
It makes
this
sense.
Things are supposed to be getting darker.
Yeah,
and
apparently in episode 3, they're about as bleak as
as you can imagine.
You can get. So,
but yeah, I was pleasantly surprised when I first saw this by the balls of this movie had to forgive the
language.
What? Not language. Well, anyway, but I was pleasantly surprised by the how complex the anyway. You get what I'm saying.
The story gets.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Dave
Senior. You know, one of the things. Yeah, one of the things I like about this, and one of the things that I think people need to remember when you think about these in context of the series,
mm-hmm.
is, I mean, people, I think the expectations, I think, with Episode 1 and Episode 2 were that they were going to get basically, fans were basically going to get essentially the same type of story.
Mm-hmm.
Big action-adventure, science fiction epic. I mean, that's what these are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be honest, that's what these are. But, I mean, you can't expect the same type of story because the universe is not the same as it is in Episodes 4 through 6.
Right.
It's a different part of the story. These two I really look at as more like political thrillers.
Which, yeah.
I mean,
I agree,
you know,
with
what are we basically supposed to be seeing? We're supposed to be seeing the rise of the Empire,
the fall of
the Republic, the decimation of the Jedi, and Anakin Skywalker's
rise.
Turn to the dark side of the
mm-hmm.
Force.
Right.
And that's what we're getting. I mean, is it necessarily the most enthralling thing in the world? No. I mean, the political...
But we're all going to...
I mean, all of the political stuff, all of that stuff can, you know...
I mean, we're getting into Patriot Games.
Even taken in, like, modern-day films, you know, modern-day political thrillers, I mean, they're not exactly that interesting.
No, they're not.
Right.
Unless they're done well.
They're not. I'm not altogether compelled about going to see the next, you know, Jack Ryan. I'm not. I mean, I wasn't. I've never had a thing for those kinds of movies. But I mean,
I don't mind those movies per se. But I mean, you know, just all of the Senate and political stuff and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of the council stuff. I mean, no, it's not going to be the most intriguing. It's not going to be the most enthralling stuff in the entire world,
mm-hmm.
but...
So you're being selective, kind of screwed this up.
Sweet.
I mean, what is she saying, leaving Jar Jar?
Muy, muy humility.
She trusts him.
Well,
obviously, he's done something over the past 10 years.
He's done something right in the last 10 years. He did one
right.
thing.
I mean, we've got to remember, this is not necessarily
but, you know,
the Jar Jar of old.
Mm-hmm.
10 years have gone by. So...
Now he's going to try to hook up.
Screw yeah.
up, for usual.
This is a really strange hairstyle they chose her right here.
As if she didn't have any weird ones back in the first movie?
Well, I think, you know,
her hair, to be fair, her hair in the first movie was kind of out there.
Too. I liked her.
I love it. I mean,
who knew we were going to be discussing this? I did not know we were going to be discussing this coming over tonight, but I mean, I guess that, but you know, I thought she looked, you know, she's only 14.
I mean, it was brought up. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
But mm-hmm. this scene was a little questionable. In my opinion, I was like, you know,
it starts off well.
He goes, you know, back
kind of
and forth. He's like,
when
he's grateful for Obi-Wan, but he feels held back by him, and it's kind
of
there's
I
not.
Like
I,
that
I,
part
I,
of
mean,
it.
I mean, they're
actually
the
duality.
Part.
I'm down.
Yeah,
with
the, but
I
the
guess,
balance, the I, balance was a little off. I thought
the thing that's kind of troubling about at the end is where she says something like, "You'll always be that boy." Or
mm-hmm.
something
you'll
like that.
You'll always
and
be
I mean,
that little boy
that
I knew on Tatooine.
Yeah, and that sort of is...
Which is the line that every guy loves to hear, by the way.
Sure.
Yeah.
I
was being sarcastic.
I was being sarcastic.
I was like,
hoping so.
I was like... which is... But I'm... No, seriously, that is not the line that every guy... I like this moment here. I like this moment
yeah.
a lot.
And here
actually.
We get the first real listen.
The look. Look at that look, though.
Well, first...
This,
here,
that's a...
First real... Hear listening
that's
of the Anakin Padme love theme,
mm-hmm. which is
which
actually quite.
I really feel like it's probably some of John Williams' finest work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of his best themes I think he's ever written.
But I really do love that moment. Don't look, please don't look at me like that. It makes me uncomfortable. That's actually some decent writing.
Yeah, I mean, there's some good writing in this.
There's some
the good in this these movies. With the possible exception of the dialogue in episode 1, the writing, the good writing far outweighs the bad in this one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it really does. Yeah.
It does. It does.
But man, I mean, just the bad is at such pivotal scenes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, that's the most painful thing about
this. And you know, it's the scenes where it's just all dialogue, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's the scenes that you want to believe in. It's right. Those are the scenes that you need to believe in. You need to believe in the love story, but you don't.
Right.
And I think that's part where there's a deficiency of talent behind the scenes when it comes to directing actors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, bottom line is...
Forstein.
Yeah.
Good use of the force theme. I think it is.
Yeah,
it's pretty decent. It's a pretty good use of it too. I think.
Oh yeah. I mean, for at least half of this movie, it's just brilliant score.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great Star Wars score.
But we're going to get into that.
We'll get into what goes wrong.
Yeah.
Sort of what goes wrong at the end.
Yeah.
But
Well, man, more glorious than Peter Graffin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, goodness.
Yeah, look at that sunset.
Digital to digital transfer. The
mm-hmm.
first one for a quote-unquote live-action film.
I love this diner.
I love this diner.
I
love the character of
This is obviously, and I think this
I
is
really
a...
I really love the character of Dex.
Uh-huh. Oh, who doesn't?
I mean, I'm
but,
sure there are
I mean, is this a reference to American Graffiti?
Probably.
In a way?
I haven't seen American
But I mean, that was George Lucas' first movie, and that was very
no,
much.
No, actually, his first one was THX.
Well, yeah. Excuse me. Oh gosh, I'm just batting 1,000 tonight.
Batting
1,000.
Not
I'm
even
just
close. Just not even close. No, THX 1138
yeah.
was his first. One.
I'm just batting 1,000 tonight.
Yeah, about to pull up with the pants with the American
Graffiti was the second.
Right. Exactly.
He's a great character.
This is
yeah.
A,
I love this
is character.
I love this scene.
This is, I mean, this is the equivalent of Watto right here. This is just...
Only he's better than Watto.
Mm-hmm.
I really do believe that he's... I mean, Watto is not a bad character.
Watto's a great character.
We can talk about him later, but...
We can. Watto's my favorite character from episode one, so, I mean...
I don't know.
Saber Dodd.
Yeah.
But I love the extras for episode two, the disc.
Yeah, they really... to a lot
they
go the creation of the
oh this character and, mm-hmm. yeah I mean they show like George Lucas just
mulling over possibilities
mulling over like different sculptures of you know this character mm-hmm. and it is actually quite fascinating
right.
It's fascinating if you appreciate this kind of stuff
yeah
right?
that,
if you're
like,
not
supposed to be hair in there
huh? Yeah it looks like he's got a mustache
he's got a little But, I mean, look at him pick up that cup. He doesn't even drink from it. He just plays with it, you know, and that's just...
No, he drinks
from it. Well, he drinks from it, but, I mean, first, but you seem like, you know, kind of like...
Yeah.
Just like...
Depends on what, Dex.
On how good your manners are. And how big your... Pocketbook is. Now we're just quoting.
Yeah.
Now we're just.
Oh, the library.
Yeah.
The library.
Yeah. The archives.
The
archives.
Archives.
Excuse
me. Excuse me.
Thank you very much. So, I guess this is kind of like to establish, you know, that. We're supposed to be seeing more of the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
The inside of
yeah.
the, you know, this is
her getting a feel as far as how
you know, what it's like to be a Jedi, the daily life of a Jedi, if you will. I don't know where I'm going here.
The life and times of the Jedi Master,
mm-hmm.
Volume 1.
Where are you going with this?
I'm going nowhere with
We're,
it. I just
obviously.
Have to say it.
But I like these little glimpses into
yeah,
the. I like these
yeah.
little. I enjoy these glimpses into Jedi life. They're interesting at best,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, they're.
Yeah.
They're.
We're about to switch to. Is Yoda
coming up? No, this
not
is.
Not yet. Next scene.
This
I was
is
just
some.
Thinking about that. No, it's after this.
It's been a while.
Where's my vomit bag? I'm sorry. Hang on.
Vomit bag?
This isn't some bad stuff. This
is, this
is
this
some
this
of
is
the better theory. Stuff between them.
It is, but you can see the downward spiral.
Yeah, yeah, you can see it going bad.
You can see it going.
Like,
you can see like the downward spiral. You can see the fireplace scene coming.
Let's talk about that later.
But you can see it coming from a mile away. I'm sorry.
I mean, he just has this relentless hitting on this girl. I don't know about that. I mean, that.
I
like what he's saying. You know, I mean, he doesn't try to smooth it out. You know?
Yeah, I like what he's saying. Well, I mean, you know, the idea is they're basically really awkward. You know, they haven't seen each other in 10 years.
And neither of them have ever
awkward teens.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, Anakin's supposed to be 19. Amidala's or Padme's supposed to be 24.
Yeah,
I guess.
Something like that.
So that's the idea anyway.
So his continuous almost childlike boy pursuit of the older woman is supposed to work.
It
doesn't quite work, but
right. This is neat.
Nice scene. I
was hoping for something that's a little bit better of a teaching scene. You know,
sort of a rehash from episode 4.
The remotes
seem like a. You know, the conclusion that he comes to at the end of it using the kid doesn't seem to be that big of a conclusion.
Doesn't seem to be
that
intelligent. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so I was hoping for a little bit more, like, genius.
Without question.
Off, you know?
Yeah.
But it's still a good scene.
It is. It works.
It's really well scored. This is one of my favorite parts of the score.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the planet Master Obi-Wan has. Very embarrassing.
At least he's starting to lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
Although Brandy doesn't have much reason to afterwards, but
This
is a cool.
This is just a neat moment. It's a cool moment.
I mean, there's some really intelligent people. You know,
there's some thinking. People are thinking. I mean, like you said, the conclusion is not all that compelling.
Right.
Yeah.
The conclusion is supposed to kind of lead you into the whole next part of the movie, and it's not leading me into anything.
No, it's just like
some kid says something stupid.
Yeah,
that happened to be the answer.
Well, Yoda knows the answer.
Right.
Yeah,
but I guess it's supposed to be a teaching. He's supposed to be kind of mentoring the kids,
sort of,
I guess, in a way. Yoda knows the answer
that
already.
Plus, sort of a way of implying that. I mean, you know, just because you're a Jedi Master. Doesn't mean you necessarily know everything and can think of everything off the top of your head.
Right.
I mean, granted, you would think Obi-Wan would know better, but
that's something for something a little bit deeper.
Without question.
That little orb pull up to his hand. That's pretty sweet.
Exactly, and he looks like he's making absolutely no effort to do it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what's so great about the character. That's just a really neat character moment there. Character.
Well, I mean, he's so powerful with Force. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he wouldn't need a whole lot of effort.
How much fun would it be to write for the character of Yoda? How much fun would that be?
Well, I don't know. I mean, language pattern, it'd be probably kind of hard to keep it interesting and keep it from.
Well,
sort of a joke.
But that's what would make it challenging, and, you know, I think.
I think the fact of the matter is, in episode 5 and 6, they had such a good foundation for the way the character should be played and
executed.
I mean, you know, executed, and the way he should sound. And, I mean, the way Frank Oz brought to the character.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought
it
R2
right there.
Yeah.
I know, I was like, how long would R2 take to get over that thing? Because he looked like he was. But there was I don't know if you ever watched the deleted scenes on the second disc, the extras. There was some really good editing going on here. I mean, because they took out some downright painful dialogue right there.
Yeah.
If you ever watched the
Ben Burt, the editor, I believe, as well as the sound designer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really do feel like the first two movies of this prequel trilogy have been very well edited and well paced.
And I like the.
I never was bored with either of these. Some people have been, but.
Yeah.
I like the choice for the new, I guess, queen.
Yeah.
Right here. I like her accent. I think it fits. Her accent fits the dress. A little bit more.
Was the character of Queen Amidala ever that well developed? I mean, I didn't feel as if.
I mean, I don't know how well developed she necessarily was. I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with the way Natalie Portman played the character the first time around, which I thought was very well. I thought she played her very well the first time around. I think she played her very well this time around. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I like how she's basically, you know, just completely making him feel completely inadequate as a Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love that. That's probably my favorite piece of dialogue.
This is some...
I like his reaction to it.
This is yeah. some... Excuse this, me.
Yeah, exactly.
Who this the is, hell do you think?
that's a little bit of a...
I love
little,
you, but you know what?
That's a little bit of Han and Leia stuff.
Right? Yeah. But it's different than Han and Leia.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's
different enough anyway.
No, it's very different from Han and Leia. I mean, this is more Romeo and Juliet. Whereas that
good
one
point.
Was
good
more
point.
Like two adults. I mean, I could use Buffy references here, but
you
I don't
won't.
Want to. I could definitely use Buffy references here, but
for Buffy references, listen to Scuttle's.
Yeah, some more ILM genius right here.
Yeah.
I love the really? Planet of Kamino. I love
yeah.
the planet of Kamino. I love the way it looks. I love the way.
Oh yeah, it's just
spectacular.
I mean, accurate water simulations are extremely.
And
difficult.
You know, at original concept was the original concept for Cloud City was that it was going to be kind of like a water planet, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, you know, it wasn't Cloud City at the time. But that
yeah.
was the original concept for where Lando was going to come from.
And I really love the design for these
Kaminoans.
Yeah. They're sort of, you know, I mean, obviously. It seems like this is a reference towards the aliens and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I think of the androids at the end of AI for some reason.
Well, I mean,
they're animated.
Those guys go back to the end of
they're animated
Close Encounters as well.
The way they're animated is very similar.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was going to mention that as well, but yeah. I like these scenes. I just absolutely love these scenes.
Now
I mean,
to business.